Look at the people. Thank you for coming out tonight. Trust you'll be blessed. I'm sure we have already, as the young people particularly have reminded us of the reason that we're here. I'm not going to ask you if you came to see me, but I'll tell you if you did, you might be disappointed, except for the fact that I came. But if you came to meet with the Lord, I'm sure you'll be blessed in your soul. 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. The Bible students know who we're going to be talking about, although they may not. They may not. 2 Kings chapter 5, beginning to read at verse 1. 2 Kings 5, verse 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God, my lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And one went in and told his lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. Verse 9, so Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again unto thee, and thou shalt be clean." Verse 14, Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child. And he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, "Behold, now I know there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant." I'm sure God will bless the reading of his precious word. I said you might be mistaken, even though the passage is well known to all of us, who we'd be speaking about tonight, because it's not Naaman, although he figures very prominently in the story. As best I can, I want to talk to the young people, because this story is just as much about a little girl as it is about Naaman, the captain of the host of Syria. A little girl in very strange circumstances. And that's what I want us to think about tonight. We have no idea how old this girl was. The Bible says she was a little maid. I personally believe, and it's only a feeling, I believe she was under 12. I know she could be over 12, but imagine with me that she's a girl of 12 years of age, roughly. She has been kidnapped from her home and taken into a foreign country. The Bible doesn't say that there was nobody there that she knew, but I think we can imagine that she was alone as far as earthly companions was concerned. 12 years old, in a foreign country, alone, having been removed from her home as a result of a war. Can you imagine, young people, Cuba, Castro, coming to the Bahamas with his armies, with his navy, pulling up to Spanish Wells and ransacking this community and taking you out of your parents' home back to Cuba and taking you or the man who abducted you, the captain, the general who abducted you, taking you to his home as a bond slave. You now had no more rights. Couldn't go out when you wanted. You couldn't do anything except you were given permission and you were the slave of his wife. And you heard that he was a leper. What would you do? What would I do under those circumstances? She doesn't have a name as far as the Bible is concerned. That is, it's record. She's not named. The town that she came from isn't named. It doesn't say she came from Bethlehem or Jerusalem. She came from Israel, the whole country. All we know, she was an Israelite. She's there, and the only reason we know about her is because she did something so wonderful that God wanted you and me to know all about her, this wonderful young girl. She heard that her master was ill, and she displayed very briefly confidence or faith, if you like, C's, confidence. She displayed immense courage, and she had Christ-like, godly compassion, confidence, faith in God, courage under very difficult circumstances. As I said, imagine you were there, no mom, no dad, no brother, no sister, nobody, just you and your master. And she had wonderful compassion. She boldly said to her mistress, "Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria." Of course, you remember that he didn't go to the prophet, at least to begin with. He went to the king. "But I would to God," she said, "in those circumstances, that my Lord were with the prophet in Samaria, and he would recover him of his leprosy." Doesn't sound like she had any trouble believing what she was saying. The Holy Spirit of God takes little people like you and me, and does great things with them. Does he always use little people? No, sometimes he uses big people too. Pharaoh was big in his own eyes. God used him, but he had to make him small first. Remember what he did to Pharaoh? We mentioned it on Sunday evening. Nebuchadnezzar was big in his own eyes. And that great king of perhaps the greatest military nation on earth at the time ate grass and walked on all fours like an animal for 7 years until he could proclaim that only God, the God of heaven and earth, was the only God. Yes, he does use big people, but he loves using little people and little things. 1 Corinthians chapter 1:27. He uses the foolish things to confound the wise, men who think they're wise. The mighty things, or the weak things, to confound the mighty. And this phrase, which I don't understand, he uses things that are not to bring to nothing things that are. Do you think you're small? Do you think you're insignificant? Do you think that God can't use you? Listen to the story of the little maid from Israel. She's in the house of the captain of the army, and she's about to do something very, very wonderful. She witnesses to the power of her God. You don't feel like a flower all the time blooming, do you? Sometimes the world can be like a desert place. Would it encourage you to know that God thinks of you as his flower that blooms in the desert of this world? Young people, old people who love the Lord Jesus. And when nobody recognizes it, when you witness to your friends and they laugh at you, when you try to do something that's good and are not recognized, even by some people who should recognize it and should tell you about it, God recognizes it. He is looking at you, and he understands what you're going through because the Lord Jesus was here, and he wasn't recognized. This little girl was such a flower. She was a flower in God's garden. She was full of faith, and she witnessed to her faith in this strange land that made it more difficult for her to witness. But she not only had this confidence, this faith in the Lord Jesus, she was very, very courageous. I wonder what I would have been like if I had been there. I looked at this man who abducted me, realized I was in a foreign land, didn't want to be there, Would I have said, oh, I hope this leprosy really gets him? I hope not. I hope not. No true Christian living close to the Lord Jesus would ever say anything like that. I wonder if I would be looked upon as a person with extreme folly instead of a person of extreme faith. Remember David. David is looking across the valley of Elah. He's gone down from his dad who loved him and sent him down to his brothers to see how they were doing, to take gifts to them and to the captain of the army. And he hears a Philistine defying the armies of the living God, not just Israel's armies, not just men. He was defying God, and David seemed to be the only person that recognized that that's what was happening there that day. Perhaps the youngest person there was the wisest person there. And that knowledge of the fact that he was defying God, not just men, gave David courage, strengthened his faith, because he said to the people around him, the battle is the Lord's. And both David and this little maiden had their courage and their faith vindicated by God. You see, it's good to start, young people. It's good to continue. But oh, it's so wonderful to end. God brought both of those circumstances to a wonderful conclusion. This man went to Israel, finally got to Elisha, had the leprosy cured. Can you imagine what the talk was around town when Naaman got back to Syria? We don't know what it was like. The Bible doesn't tell us. But I have a feeling that God was praised because of the life and the testimony of this dear young girl. And then she had tremendous compassion. The Bible doesn't say whether she had a tear in her eye when she went over to her mistress and said, would God the Master were with the prophet that is in Israel. But I can say to you without flinching that there was warmth and compassion and care in her heart, in her lips, on her lips as she spoke. No cold-heartedness. She wasn't a cynic. She was very sincere. Her kindness, I believe, was as the kindness of God. Remember David? David has finally ascended the throne. Saul has been chasing him. Saul has died. And David in 2 Samuel 9 verse 3 says these words, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show him the kindness of God? Most kings would have sought after the relatives of the last king so that he could kill them and wipe away any threat to his throne. David wanted to show the kindness of God. I know another passage says, for Jonathan's sake, for the sake of his dear friend, but he wants to show the kindness of God. Naaman may not have thanked the little girl when he got back. I feel certain that he did. But even if he didn't, if he never gave her a word of recognition, I can assure you that one day she crossed the portals of time into eternity, and she was met by her God. And she will hear one day, as I'm sure she has already heard, well done. Well done. Not as far as the halls of men are concerned, but as far as the Lord Jesus is concerned. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou, the Lord Jesus will say to the faithful one day, into the joys of thy Lord. As I close, I want to remind you that whatever your personal answer to my questions, what would you have done had you been in her case? Would you have been angry with Naaman and showed it? Or would you have been like her? I want to remind our hearts tonight that we have a greater witness than she had. If you're a Christian in this room tonight, you have the indwelling Spirit of God who reveals the Lord Jesus and God's will to us as we read his word. So we have more available strength to us on a continual basis than this girl had, although she was led by the Spirit of God to do what she did. The Bible says, 1 John 4, greater is he that is in you than he that is within the world. It also says in Hebrews 13, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do to me. As you go out and witness and are afraid, timid to say things for the Lord Jesus, remember that you make him happy and that one day you will be rewarded for your faithfulness to him. Colossians 3:12 says, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on bowels of mercies or compassion like this girl had, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. Roddy, are you like that? Dear friend here tonight, are you like that? Do the loveliness and the kindness and the humility which is available to us through the Holy Spirit, the mind of the Lord Jesus, do you use that to display your love to those around you, even in circumstances that are not like this dear young girl? You and I have never faced that type of difficulty. How much easier it is for us. Although sometimes it's very hard in your own home to do it. We have the ability, because of the indwelling Spirit of God and the fellowship of the Christians around us, we work together, we march together, we witness together, holding up each other, the Bible says. But you may be here tonight and you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. You can't witness about the Lord Jesus. You can't witness about someone that you don't know. Would you be like Naaman tonight? Naaman was a godless man. He was a heathen man. And he learned about God from one of his children, one of God's children. And something about the witness of this dear girl, something about her demeanor, her behavior in this awful circumstance made him listen. Somebody told him what she said. And he went to the king, and the king sent him with gifts to Israel because he believed what she said. Do I live my life? Do you live your life in such a way that people believe what you say? Believe what I say. He went to Elisha, and Elisha's God healed him. I don't know when Naaman got saved, but I know that he is saved because his testimony is here. Verse 15 says, and he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Not I believe your God is more powerful than my gods. No. I believe yours is the only God. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing. And he tried to give to Elisha. And you know the rest of the story. But listen, and as I do close, verse 17. And Naaman said, shall not there, then I pray thee, be given to thy servant 2 mules burden of earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. A determination that he would serve his new Lord and Master to the degree that he would want to carry back from a godly circumstance the earth that he might worship the true God. And he asked for forgiveness for the times that the king leaned on him in his house of worship. If you are saved, I trust that these thoughts will encourage us to witness more boldly, emboldened by this dear young maiden. And if you're not a Christian, that tonight you'll do what Naaman did, bow and confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. Let us pray. Father, we do thank thee for the privilege of meeting with thy people, meeting with thee here with thy people, to worship and to praise, to read thy word, to sing songs of adoration to thee, to thy son, the Lord Jesus, to acknowledge him as the only Lord and Savior. Thank you for the young people who read their Bible so that they'll be become knowledgeable so that they will be able to more effectively witness. We also pray, our Father, for those who are not saved. Dear young people, on the way to a lost eternity without hope, the Bible says, and without God in the world, we pray for them tonight and older ones as well, that they will surrender to the Lord Jesus and then be like this dear maid in whatever circumstance to witness for him and for what he has done for them. Dismiss us now with thy blessing as we give thee our thanks in our Savior's wonderful, wonderful name. Amen. Good night, and the Lord bless you.